welcome to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. This is Adrian Tutnam, and I'm going to be your guide for the next few weeks as we ramble through a miscellany of sounds from the forgotten past. In the 1950s, three whole generations of music on old records were consigned to the junk shop with the coming of the new vinyl records. I'm going to trawl through those dusty piles of old records to find out what life was like before vinyl. The first record I found today, which isn't at all dusty, is a German Polydor recording, which was issued by Decca in this country. The label on this record says it is by Orlando and his orchestra. Orlando was one of the many pseudonyms used by the conductor Paul Godwin during his long career, and the novel instrumentation in this piece is quite typical of his orchestra. This was recorded in 1932, the last year he recorded in Germany before fleeing to the Netherlands. It's called Pretzel Dolls. Pretzel Dolls by Rowles, played by Paul Godwin and his orchestra. Having begun his career just after the First World War and formed his own orchestra in 1922, it's amazing to realise that Paul Godwin was still conducting in the 1970s. Another performer with a long career was born in Cheltenham in 1874. Billy Whitlock made his first records at the turn of the last century on wax cylinders, and his last hit was Hopscotch Polka, which was in the American and British pop charts of 1950. From 1900 to the 1930s, Billy Whitlock's name turns up on record after record. The catalogues are full of jolly tunes he wrote himself, Sometimes they're played anonymously, but often they appear under a variety of pseudonyms, such as Dudley Roy, Len Ward, R. White, and W. W. Whitlock. By now, you're probably wondering why you haven't heard of him. But sadly, the two styles of music which made him famous suddenly fell from popularity in the mid-1930s and have never experienced much of a revival. Billy Whitlock specialised in novelty xylophone playing and laughing songs.
I've got a brother that's just like me, believe me what I say. We get mixed up, whatever we do, in a most peculiar way. He's got a girl and I can't tell how, she makes such a great mistake. For yesterday she came to me and the tiff commenced to take. What a very, very dreadful thing. What a very, very frightful thing. I'm not the man, I wildly cried. You want Jim, he's there inside. Why were we born twins? What trouble is that spring? What a very, 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 very dreadful thing. Fancy her coming up and kissing me, you know. Might have been the death of her. Oh, but it was lovely. Excuse me, I'm upset, you know. The poor wife just returned to her husband. Still, don't mind me. I shall be with you in a minute. Yesterday I thought for my tea I'd have some good reprise. For the pain I had when the tea was done, I thought that I should die. I yelled out for the doctor quick, just then in came poor Jim. Up came the doctor with a nice black draught and gave it all to him. The doctor said as he forced it down, this will cost you half a crown. What a very, 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 very dreadful thing. Fancy him taking the medicine for me. Boy, did him a lot of good. Oh, it was nasty.
Billy Whitlock there with one of his own compositions, What a Dreadful Thing. As well as laughing songs, Billy Whitlock was well known for composing and performing his own xylophone pieces. Here's one from 1912. On the record label it's called Twinkling Star, but I've more recently heard it played under the title Woodland Revels and claimed as a traditional folk tune.
Thank you.
Twinkling Star, written by Billy Whitlock in 1912 and played by Trio Nuovo. When I want to know the names of the performers on a Regal record, I usually rush straight to my copy of the listings by Arthur Badrock and Frank Andrews. I wasn't surprised to find W.W. Whitlock listed as the xylophone player on this recording, but the cryptic comment, "Orpheus equals Mr. Sylvester," does nothing to shed light on who played the saxophone and the trumpet. You're listening to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. By an amazing coincidence, there were two xylophone players whose initials were W.W., and I don't think they were both Billy Whitlock under different pseudonyms. The classical player was W.W. Bennett, who recorded a charming xylophone piece with the Bournemouth Municipal Orchestra in March 1933. The recording was made in the Pavilion, Bournemouth, through a marvellous feat of engineering, the mobile recording van. This 1927 Lancia van, laden with tons of batteries, recording lathes and ovens for heating the waxes, made its ponderous way around the country, sending back hundreds of recordings of performances that couldn't be taken to the studios in London. An interesting technical point which shows up on this recording was a small amount of distortion on the loudest xylophone notes. This was caused by the Western Electric cutter heads fitted to the recorders in the van. The studio equipment had been upgraded by 1933 with distortion-free cutter heads designed by Alan Blumlein, but they needed a different amplifier, one that couldn't be used with the battery power available in the van, so the van retained the older cutter head system. If you're not interested in the technical details, just enjoy the music instead. The Clatter of the Clogs, played by the Bournemouth Municipal Orchestra. Clatter of the Clogs there, written by Flynn and played by the Bournemouth Municipal Orchestra with W.W. Bennett on the xylophone. We're continuing with the theme of clogs in our next piece too. Back in the 1920s, there was a lot of popular music being written for the banjo, and it was regarded as much more of a mainstream instrument. It also recorded well on acoustic records, so naturally it was popular in the recording studios. And copies of banjo solos still turn up in their hundreds among records from that period. Although billed as banjo solos, most recordings of the instrument were actually accompanied by a pianist, who may even have been quite accomplished on occasions. But with very little time for rehearsal and no prior knowledge of what he might be called upon to accompany next, it's hardly surprising that the pianist's efforts were usually best relegated to the background. Here's an unnamed pianist doing his very best to keep up with a marathon performance by the banjo player Ollie Oakley of Emil Grimshaw's delightful tune, Lancashire Clogs. Oakley there playing Emil Grimshaw's Lancashire Clogs in June of 1913. You're listening to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. A type of record which is rarely made nowadays is the descriptive sketch or short play. Even at the height of its popularity, this type of record was hardly mainstream material, yet there were always a few to be found in the catalogues. In the late 1920s and early 30s, there was a bit of a revival of spoken word recordings, probably following the popularity of wireless broadcasting. This next item was first broadcast in September 1927 from the BBC studios in Savoy Hill. It was repeated several times during the following years, and this version of it was recorded by Columbia in April 1931. The actors were Michael Hogan playing the bus conductor, Juliet Mansell as Elsie, and a very youthful William Hartnell, remember him as the first Doctor Who, playing the part of John. I look forward to having your company again next week for another trawl through the junk piles searching for clues about life before vinyl. But for now, let's find out what happens on The Wrong Bus.
Well, I'm tired after that theatre. Aren't you, Elsie?
Yes, I shall be glad to be home.
It was good, though, wasn't it?
I enjoyed it, I must say.
Here's the bus.
No, it doesn't stop. That one only goes to the end of the town.
What's the time?
Just after 11.
It ought to be here any minute now.
Yes.
I do feel sleepy.
Well, you've had a heavy week of it.
Here's a bus.
Where?
Coming along.
That'll be it. We shall be the only ones, it seems.
Going on top.
It'll be too chilly.
Down in Great Coombe, Red Rock and Little Coombe.
Come on.
Anyone else? Right away.
Elsie, are you? Elsie, where are you? Gone upstairs? Elsie, where are you? Not there. Conductor, did you see a lady follow me in?
No, sir.
Then I must get out. We must have started before she got on. Will you stop the bus, please?
No.
What do you mean? I want to get off.
You can't get off.
Why, man? What's the matter? Your face is all covered with blood.
I know.
What's the matter? You look ghastly.
I'm used to it.
Stop the bus. I must get off.
You can't get off.
Then I'll stop it myself.
One, two, three, four. Other people have pulled it six times, but it's all the same.
Why doesn't he stop?
Because he can't.
Don't be a fool. Stop, man. Stop.
Go and tap on the window. Perhaps he'll hear and perhaps he won't. I never asked him if he hears him do that.
Stop, stop. I want to get off. Good Lord.
What's the matter?
There's no one in the driver's seat.
Isn't there? He's late. He'll be there before Red Rock.
But he must stop at Town End.
We've passed that.
Well, then at Great Coombe.
We're passing there now. Look out of the window.
I don't understand it. There's no driver, man. Do something. Stop the thing or we shall have an accident in a minute.
Not just yet.
I'm going to climb into the seat from the top.
I shouldn't do that.
Why the devil not?
What's the use? If Bill Jenkins can't stop it, no man on earth can.
But there's no one there.
Are you sure?
I just looked. God. There is now, though. I could have sworn he wasn't there before.
We're not going fast now, you know. You wait till we start down Red Rock Hill before we try to take the cliff bend.
Are you mad or am I?
Neither.
I can't stand this. Make him stop before we come to the hill.
Bill wants to get home quick. You see, his wife is expecting a baby.
That's no excuse for killing us.
It'll be all right if the brakes work, but they never do.
Don't laugh like that.
You better prepare for it.
What?
The smash.
You know there's going to be a smash.
Of course. We're going over the cliff.
You're mad. That's what you are, mad. Stop, for God's sake, stop.
Here's the hill.
Stop, stop.
He's trying to. Watch his face. There. He knows the brakes don't work. It won't be long now. Hold tight.
Oh, God, this is awful. We shall never get around the bend. I'll go on top.
They get it the worst.
Help, stop, stop, stop.
Look at your face in the glass.
Oh, oh.
Little Coombe.
Come on, John, here we are. You look quite ill.
Stop!
We are stopped, dear. Come on. Wipe your face. We're all hot.
Elsie, it's you.
Oh, you must have been dreaming.
Yes, yes, dreaming.
Come on.
Good night, Mum.
Good night.
Good night, sir.
Did you ever know a driver called Bill Jenkins?
Me? Bless you, sir, yes, sir. That was him what went over Red Rock Cliff some years ago. We're more careful now, though.
Yes. Yes. Good night.
Good night, sir.